Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, September the 4th. This is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in Chapter 11, A Vision for You, and we're on page 151. Third paragraph down, the bottom of the page, now and then a serious drinker, reading through one paragraph, ending, he will wish for the end. And the comments will be on that paragraph only. The readers are, today's readers are the 12 steps, Laura W., the 12 traditions, Deb E. The readers of the text are Juanice M. and Robin P. The share ID for Sunday, yesterday's Sunday special edition, September the 3rd, is 20,595. That's 20595. And this morning's meeting, Monday, September the 4th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 20,596. That's 20596. And our newcomer greeter today is Lorraine N. And the announcements person is Betsy H. And thank you all for your service this month. Overeaters Anonymous, our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You, Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery, and I will now ask Laura W. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. This is Laura W., recovered in Ohio. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to the compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you so much for letting me do service. Laura W., recovered in Ohio.
Thank you, Laura W. And I will now ask Deb E. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning, Mo, and good morning, fellows. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
And thank you very much, Debbie. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are in Chapter 11, A Vision for You, page 151. We will be on the third paragraph down, now and then a serious drinker, and it ends on the top of page 152. He will wish for the end. And I will now ask Juanice M. to begin our reading and commenting. Good morning, Juanice.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. My name is Juanice M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in California. Now and then a serious drinker, being dry at the moment, said, I don't miss it at all. Feel better, work better, having a better time. As ex-problem drinkers, we smile at such a sally. We know our friend is like a boy whistling in the dark to keep up his spirits. He fools himself. Inwardly, he would give anything to have half a dozen drinks and get away with them. He will presently try the old game again, for he isn't happy about his sobriety. He cannot picture life without alcohol. Someday, he will be unable to imagine life either with alcohol or without it. Then he will know loneliness such as few do. He will be at the jumping off place. He will wish for the end. Wow. Yes, I can relate to this, you know, that I've done this same thing at least half a dozen times. You know, every time that I would, out of fear or out of vanity or out of wanting a husband or out of some reason for a moment would white knuckle my way into a decent body weight and then, you know, go out and some guy would show some attention to me and then I would be like, oh yeah, who cares? Who cares what I eat as long as I can look this good, you know? Cocky, you know, I feel better. Everything was better, right? But I didn't realize that what my problem was that it wasn't about the weight or the being single or any of that, that it was the spiritual malady, the sickness, you know, and it would always come back and I would always put the weight back on and always had to be around those same people that was praising me and, oh, you look so good, and then watch me get put all that weight back on again and have to face them. It was just absolutely horrible. And I did know loneliness and became at the jumping off point where I was just like, you know what, God, I'd rather be dead than to live like this. And that's really, truly how I felt. I'd rather be dead than to live like this, you know, and I'm just so grateful that there really was a solution for all of that, because I really didn't think that there was. After losing the weight and gaining it back so many times, I just gave up hope that I could ever have this life that I'm living today. And so that's all for me. I'm going to stay right there at the jumping off point. I'm not going to go too much into the solution right here, but thank you all for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Juanice, for getting us started. And I'll just remind everybody where we are, those that just got on the line. We're in Chapter 11, a Vision for You, on page 151, down at the bottom, Now and Then, A Serious Drinker. And it ends on the next page with He Will Wish for the End. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share today?
Danielle W.
Sherry H.M.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Sherry H.M.
Yeah, I got you, Sherry.
Oh, sorry.
Second.
Thank you.
That's okay. So I have Danielle W., Sherry H.M., Deborah G. Who was that?
Jody E. from California.
Say that again. Jody. I got you, Jody. Yeah.
Mary G. from Arizona.
Mary G. I'll take one more.
Jordan.
Okay, Jordan, we'll stop there. Okay. I have Danielle W., Sherry H.M., Deborah G., Jody E., Mary G., and Jordan L. Would everybody please mute your phone except Danielle W.? Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning. So happy to be here. Danielle W., recovered but not cured in Southern California. You know, it's interesting because I knew a lot about addiction well before I ever found my way into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. And, you know, I understood the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. And I look back now and I'm just stunned by the delusion, the way that the mind will protect, you know, my right to keep eating. You know, it says here, the line that really speaks to me is, he fools himself. And that's what I did for decades, the obsession of the mind. I would distort reality. I don't have a problem. I just need the right diet. I just need to find the right fix. I'm okay. It's okay if I'm overweight and, you know, I'm healthy. And I remember I was sitting actually at, in fact, it was a Labor Day weekend, this weekend, and I was at a roundup for another program, and I was sitting in a lecture, and they were talking about addiction, and it was the first time I had ever heard anyone talk about food addiction, and all of a sudden, the light bulb went off, and I could see that for 40 years of my life, I had eaten the way alcoholics drink, and I don't know why in that moment there was clarity, but I couldn't fool myself any longer. And I was overcome with this unbelievable sense of loneliness. I had isolated at that point. You know, early on in my eating career, it brought me joy. I used it to celebrate. I felt good. You know, it was happy moments. When I was young, you know, when my parents got divorced, the big thing with my dad and I is we'd get ice cream and we'd get french fries. And, you know, it started off as something really fun, but the fun was gone. And I was left with this just debilitating pain. And finally, I was able to break through the delusion that everything was okay. And that was the beginning of the journey in Overeaters Anonymous. I am so grateful for the life I have today. You know, everything was about the food, about eating, about not eating, about weight, about losing weight. And today I'm happy, joyous, and free. I'm, you know, in a state of neutrality. I have a relationship with a higher power that guides my eating. And I get to be part of this fellowship with all of you. And I'm profoundly grateful. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Danielle W. Next is Sherry H.M., followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M. from Mount Vernon, Washington. Thank you for your service. This is a powerful paragraph. I remember feeling that way for I don't know how many months, but it was hard. But the more I worked the steps, the better it got. And later I was told I should have worked the steps really quickly, but I didn't even know that people were using the big book for recovery. So this reminds me of page 85. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we had been placed in a position of neutrality. So I'm grateful to be there. I don't get tempted by it. It's just like a real turnoff, all the sugar that I, you know, used to eat and other foods as well. The new one, though, someone called me on about a week ago, is coffee. I do have that to break, and this has been hard, but I'm working the steps. So thank you for all your service, and everybody have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry H.M. Let's see, Deborah G, followed by Jody E. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo. So grateful for your service this morning and everyone's service that made this meeting possible. And welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're on the line today. And I'm Deborah G from Arizona. And oh, wow. Yes. So many years I was so dishonest. All the stories I would tell myself to justify, rationalize, to keep going on, you know, to do the food and not look at what was going on with me because of the food. You know, I just wasn't willing. I wasn't willing to let go of the food, particularly this one last alcoholic food. Or I would have a fleeting moment, yeah, you know, I could see a little bit of some manageability that would happen because of the food, but it was fleeting. It was so insane because it was so fleeting. I would go back and do it again and again and again. And I'm so grateful I did finally get woken up and see the reality of what was happening. But for so many years, you know, and it's funny because I thought I was connected to God. I thought I was connected to all of you. The stories I would tell myself and the crazy things, you know, like taking food out into the parking lot and eating in the parking lot. I didn't want people to see me, you know, the shame about it, the shame of doing something I couldn't stop doing. You know, oh, wow, it's just crazy. Thank you all for reminding me of that and take me back to that so I can continue to see reality and the truth. That's all I have. Have a wonderful day today. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah G. And up next is Jody E., followed by Mary G. Good morning, Jody.
Thank you, Mo. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service, Mo. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in California. Yes, so this is a sad state to be in, to be sober, to be abstinent, but not to be happy about it. Or to imagine being abstinent and imagining being unhappy about it. I can remember that when it was first suggested to me that I needed to abstain from sugar and flour, I was like, are you kidding me? I couldn't imagine it. I couldn't imagine it. Those were my best friends. Those were my way of coping. But when I finally became willing to put those down and to get cleanly and entirely abstinent, as I need to do personally, it was such a freedom. It was such a release. Especially once I worked the steps. Because being abstinent alone is certainly not enough. When I'm simply abstinent and I have not yet worked the steps, I am white-knuckling it. I am at ill at ease. I'm irritable, restless, and discontent. And I have to work these steps in order to get beyond that discomfort emotionally, physically, and spiritually. But we do that by working the 12 steps. That is the beauty of this. And we can get beyond the misery of abstinence, and we can find neutrality, and we can find the promises, the 10th step promises, which are amazing. To not be tempted, to be able to go anywhere at any time and feel neutral around all the different food that we see. I just had a reunion this weekend, 50th reunion of my 8th grade class. And yes, of course, there was food there that I do not eat. And it did not tempt me in the least. And I did not feel deprived. More importantly, I did not feel deprived. So this may seem impossible, but it's not. That is the solution. Otherwise, we are doomed. We are without defense against the first compulsive bite. So we work the steps and we continue to work them day in and day out. And it's a tremendous blessing. And I'm so very grateful. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Jody E. Up next is Mary G., followed by Jordan L. And after Jordan, I'm going to take a new lineup of names. Good morning, Mary G.
Good morning, Mo, and thank you very much, everyone who's doing service this morning. I really like this paragraph, although I have to laugh because I never really got to the point, even in the rooms, in my first 17 years of not missing it at all, because I never understood the physical allergy. And so, of course, if I'm using OA as a diet with group support, I would get down to what I thought was my normal weight and go celebrate. And of course, it was with sugar or flour or something that I'm allergic to. So I never really got to that. But so far as fooling myself, I lied to myself all the time. You know, it doesn't matter anymore. I don't care. And I did care. You know, that line that really struck me today the most was, he isn't happy about his sobriety. You know, I remember being, when I finally put down the food and put down my alcoholic foods, and I didn't know what they were. I was just told to do this. You know, I remember going through 4 years of being stark raving abstinent, and I was still a control freak. I was still a rager. I was still didn't know how to control my emotional, you know, feelings. I shouldn't say control. I should say I didn't know what to do with them. And today, so different, because, you know, if my feelings still happen, I still get very uncomfortable feelings sometimes. And yet I have learned that it's okay to feel uncomfortable. I can feel uncomfortable and I don't have to eat over it. I don't have to do anything over it. I don't have to act out. I can actually just, I can do service. I can, you know, try to do something for someone else. And I can always use my favorite slogan, which is, this too shall pass. And I believe that because this morning I woke up and I didn't have the feelings that I had yesterday. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that I know today that, you know, I don't always have to be in a good place to be abstinent and to be recovered. I can be uncomfortable at times, and that's really okay. And thank you for letting me share. And with that, I'll pass.
All right. Thank you very much, Mary G. Before I take Jordan L., let me remind everybody where we are. We're on page, we're in the chapter 11 of Vision for You, page 151, the third paragraph down. Now and then, a serious drinker, and it ends on the top of page 152. He will wish for the end. And after Jordan, I'll take another lineup of names. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Very grateful because there's a lot of compulsive overeaters who are not here. that just struck me this morning that I have a very, very, very different life today than I did when I was compulsively overeating. And it's very big and quite honestly, most of the time, pretty out of control as far as control goes. And it's got a lot of people in it. And it's very messy. And I was just very humbled by that this morning, that's something that I'm incredibly grateful for today, is this big, messy, out-of-control life. That is very, very different from the attitude that I had when I was compulsively overeating. And that's the thing that strikes me about this paragraph this morning, too. He isn't happy about his sobriety. it tells me as a recovered compulsive overeater in my 12th step, carrying this message and doing my best to practice principles in all of my affairs, that there's a kind of an expectation that I'm happy. that's kind of part of the deal, you know? And it's funny because in my disease, I was very, very, very attached to my unhappiness and this sort of like idea of victimhood, and that storyline of self-pity, and self-loathing and punishment. I'm grateful for the steps and the fact that they're a path out of that. It says in the next paragraph, like, we show how we got out from under. That's how we got out from under, is by taking the steps. And it's funny, too, because here I am in my 12 step carrying this message, but this paragraph, it kind of brings it back around to the first step again. The end of it, this bit about he will know loneliness, such as you do. He will be at the jumping off place. He will wish for the end. It kind of reminds me of that paragraph back in There Is a Solution that talks about we have but two alternatives, one to go on to the bitter end, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation as best we could, or the other to accept spiritual help. And so it's very... It's just very fitting, right, that my 12th step would bring me back to my first step. and that we continue to work these steps. So thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you very much, Jordan L. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to take a stab, or who would like to share on this paragraph?
Sherry M.
Sherry M. Reminding everybody, we're on page 151, the bottom of the page. Now and then, a serious drinker, and ending just that one paragraph with, he will wish for the end. Who else would like to share?
Rella R. from Brooklyn.
I think I got Joan Marie in there.
Thank you.
And Rella R. So I have Sherry M., Joan Marie M., and Rella R. Let's take those three so we don't, in the sake of time. Sherry M.?
Yep. Hi. Thanks, Mo. My name is Sherry M., and I'm gratefully recovered in Wyoming, compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Mo, and really liked what everyone said, and I just wanted to welcome the newcomers, and I also really want to speak to the people on the line that maybe have my experience that I had being in other programs and not getting, like, why can't I get it in this program? Why can't I get it in this program? And, you know, here's the thing. The reality is with compulsive overeating, we do have the highest relapse rate, and it is the hardest disease. And unless you have multiple diseases, you might not have that experience and know that. But I hope that gives everyone comfort in this program and wants us all to just do the steps 1 to 12 every day in order to stay free from this seemingly hopeless disease. This is a powerful disease. I think it's the only addiction, I may be wrong, where you actually have to ingest your drug multiple times a day in order to survive. So right then and there, that is a difference between alcoholics and being sober. And so it is very hard. So this is not a shame-based thing. This paragraph is once again describing who I am, what I am, and I need to just always ask myself what the big book is. Is this my experience? Have I ever said to a sponsor, you know, yeah, everything's going great. My life is wonderful. My mind in that maybe I was conscious and maybe I wasn't, that mental blank spot could have been there, but also it could have been very conscious of that thought of, yeah, well, you know, of course I'm going to go back to the food one day, but I'm not going to tell the sponsor that. You know, this is the insidious nature of this disease. It's cunning, it's baffling, and it's powerful, and it resides in my mind, and my mind is based in delusion and insanity, and it will always bring me back to the food without a spiritual solution. So, so absolutely, I relate to this paragraph. I relate to the dishonesty that this disease can allow me to have in my life. Have I ever, you know, kept other things, emotional things from other people and just made it seem like life was great? Sure, I've done that along the way, and it always ended me back in. So I'm grateful for some clarity today. As my sponsor always reminds me, we're trying to be awake, alert, and aware. Just trying to breathe in God and to be present for whatever it is and to be honest about where we are, what we're thinking, because the disease is in our mind. We always need to share those thoughts. And so today, if I am having any sort of thought, I don't keep it to myself. I share it with my sponsor or with another recovered fellow because when we bring light to the darkness, God can help us. Thank you. Have a blessed day, Ada.
Hey, thank you, Sherry M. Perfect timing. Joan Marie M., followed by Rella R., and after Rella, we'll have time for more shares. Joan Marie, good morning.
Hey, this is Joan Marie. Am I being heard?
Yes, just a little bit louder if you could, Jo Marie.
Okay. Jo Marie, M in Las Vegas. Grateful to be on this line and in this program, recovered by the grace and power of God. A lot of things stood out with me. I looked up the word Sally, S-A-L-L-Y, and it's a military action, a sudden change in the direction of the enemy. So for me, what someone just said, it's cunning, baffling, and powerful. It'll come in a different direction if I'm not doing what I needed to do from the very beginning. And each day I get to practice living in total freedom, the neutrality of food. And when it said here, inwardly he would give anything to take half a dozen drinks and get away with it. To me, that stands out as white knuckling, dieting. And today I don't do that. I have that neutrality. Such a miracle. Sometimes I think I'm in a dream. It's so beautiful. And then, you know, when we're in that, when I was in that white knuckling, then it doesn't work. So then I can't imagine living without sugar and sugary things, living with it or without it. And loneliness, desperation, hopelessness, despair was my way of living when I'm into the food. And today, life is beautiful. I don't always get what I need, but I always get what I need because I have a God that loves me and is total love, a higher power greater than myself that restored me to sane eating, saneness about thinking about food, thoughts, different kinds of thoughts that are loving and kind instead of someone's out to get me or all the negative things. Today it's beautiful. It's not perfect. My husband left this earth. It'll be a year at the end of October. I was a person that never wanted to be alone, and today I am not alone. I have God. I have this fellowship. I have my friends, and I'm very, very grateful. So with that, I'll pass, and I thank everyone for their shares.
Well, perfect timing, Jo Marie. Thank you. And before I take Rella R., let me remind everybody where we are. We're in Chapter 11, A Vision for You, down at the bottom of the page. 151, Now and Then, A Serious Drinker, and it ends with, He Will Wish for the End. And after Rella, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Rella.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for your lead. This is Rella, recovering compulsive overeater in Brooklyn, New York. I just wanted to say how grateful I am, and yes, it is a miracle. And before I continue, I would say a caveat that I have actual fear of sharing my successes sometimes because I have this fear of jinxing it. But I'm going to follow the one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, and as of today and as of now, I've been abstinent a couple of weeks, and what usually trips me up is like the buildup of emotions. And I just saw my grandchildren yesterday, which is, I don't see them very often. And I'm one of those love people that, you know, my hormones kick in. I get high on love. And I would usually need like food to work it down. And I'm so grateful that I didn't think about it. I had my prepared food. So on my way home, you know, I was able to stay just sober. And I also took the bus home. My grandchildren live in upstate New York, and I had a lovely bus mate. And I find that I'm having so many better conversations, and I'm reaching out more and kind of remembering somewhere that I read that the cure for addiction is connection. So I'm connecting more, and I have such a satisfied feeling that the two-hour trip just seemed to fly by. This young woman and I were having this really, really very stimulating, good conversation. And just grateful. Grateful that I'm finding other ways. Grateful that my higher power is helping me stay sober without having to numb out or escape or regulate, self-regulate using the food. And not all the way where I'd like to be in terms of neutrality, but definitely, there's definitely progress. So thank you all for being here. Thank you for listening. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Rella R. Okay, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I have time for about three more shares.
Karen K. from Missouri.
All right, I got Chanel.
And Nancy L.
Nancy L. Who was from Missouri?
Karen KZ.
Karen KZ. Let's stop there. Thank you very much. We'll see if we have time for those three. Maybe not. Totally. All right. Chanel T, followed by Nancy L. Good morning, Chanel.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone on the line. This is Chanel T in Washington State, gratefully living in a state of recovery by the grace of God today, and outside panting as I walk the dog. That's me, you're hearing pants, not the dog. So this paragraph, right, like it's gritty. It's gritty. The throes of this disease, gritty, not pretty. And, you know, I've been there. I've been there. I've been where it was basically surrendering my life to the food, surrendering any hope to the food, surrendering really just everything, and not wanting to live anymore because it was so miserable. It was just incredibly miserable to live a life where I was blocked from my higher power by this other idol I was serving, to be honest about it. Didn't know that's what I was doing, but I was. And my disease is a liar. It's a pathological liar. Tell me a little bit of truth. Hey, you got weight to lose. And then a whole bunch of lies about me, about life, and especially about this disease. And I don't want to be stark raving abstinent. I love that term. I want to be in recovery. The only way I know to do that is to work the steps daily, stay connected to my higher power through that. That's just the only way that's working for me. One of the things I have to be careful of is not to be terminally unique. Yeah, I have to eat. I don't have to eat those alcoholic foods to live. I don't have to. Recently heard someone say, well, once this jar of such and such is gone, I won't buy any more. No, I'm not going to make those negotiations anymore today. I can throw it out. I don't have to have that food. There's plenty for me to eat, just like there's plenty for the alcoholic to drink besides alcohol. Someone who's a drug addict may have medications they need to take. But I have to stay in the steps in order to have the neutrality that is a gift and is not within my power. I can't use my strength of will to combat my food compulsion. I can only rely on God. And with that, thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Chanel T. Up next is Nancy L. And I'll see if we have time for you, Karen Z. KZ. Good morning, Nancy L.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. This is Nancy L. in Arizona. This is my favorite part of the big book. I know I say that about a lot of them, but this one really, really is. Because I did come to the point where I was 55 years old, and it was time to be done. I could not imagine one more day with the food or one more day without the food. I was at that jumping off place. And what Nancy wants back then, Nancy gets. And so Nancy was making plans for that jumping off place. And I was getting very scared. You know, it's like, okay, you know, I've never been this bad that I want to end it all. And now I'm making plans. God help me. God help me. And he did help me. And today I am so grateful to be freed from that compulsion to either I've got to stop or I've got to eat. It's the fight is over. I have peace in my heart and in my mind and in my soul today. It's the greatest thing in the whole wide world. I'm so grateful. Don't anybody give up out there because it's never too late. Thanks again. This is Nancy.
Thank you, Nancy L. Well, we do have time for you, Karen KZ. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks to all of you who are doing service. This is Karen KZ, recovered in Missouri. The line that stood out for me today is, he cannot picture life without alcohol. And it's so interesting to me. I love the that has been shared before. It's not I cannot picture life without food. I cannot picture life without those ingredients in certain foods. There's thousands of foods that I can eat, but it's so interesting how the focus was on, oh, I can't do without that. So I just, for me, I did the white knuckle abstinence too, and that's not a happy, joyous, and free life. And so for me, it wasn't until actually I was willing to take the instructions. I was willing to tell somebody what to someone else to tell me what to do and to not bargain with them, to not say yes, but, yes, but, yes, but. As long as I continued to do that, I stayed in the disease. I stayed in misery. The minute I was willing to follow instructions and do what they told me and work the steps, my life became transformed. And the whole secret for me is that God is doing the changing and the rearranging. It's no longer Karen. Well, I got to do this and I got to do that. I do have to plan my food. I do have to do all those things. But I have to stop, I have to give up control. And I no longer have to control my food. And I don't have to control anybody or even myself. So this program is incredible, and I'm grateful we're all here. Thank you, and I pass.
And thank you very much. And thank you all who shared today and all who gave service. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will ask Robin P. to read a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you. Hi, Mo. Thank you for your service and everyone who does service on this meeting. My name is Robin P., and I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Savannah, Georgia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.